Amateur rocketeers find success in commercial spaceflight. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. When Up Aerospace successfully completed its mission SL-2 on April 28th, it captured imaginations in a number of ways and marked the first commercial success of a development team which came from the ranks of rocket hobbyists. The company is headquartered in Connecticut, also has an engineering office in Colorado, but has some big news coming out of New Mexico. And my guest today is Eric Knight, who is the co-founder of Up Aerospace. Eric, thanks for making some time for our listeners today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Let me ask you this, because I know from talking to you before we started this interview that your company is very small, even by the standards of some other commercial aerospace companies now. Tell us how your company got started and how you've done so much with so little.
Well, a lot of entrepreneurs, we got together, so very entrepreneurial spirit within the company. We were incorporated in the fall of 2004, and myself as a co-founder and Jerry Larson as the other co-founder. Jerry is an aerospace engineer, formerly from Lockheed Martin. I'm a business manager and an entrepreneur here in Connecticut, and we had been working together on amateur rocket launches for some time, and decided to form a business and try to provide low-cost access to space, as we've done, and here we are.
Well, let me ask you about the hobbyist rocketeer scene, because that's something that I think is just now getting some publicity among, you know, people at large. I was fascinated to see some of these contestants at New Mexico, and some of these college kids, and some of the things they brought to launch down there. What kind of things were you into before you started developing this as a commercial venture?
Sure. Well, from high-power rocketry and rocketry since I was a child and really grew up with that in the space program, it all really came together as a dream to form a company like this. Jerry and I were also key members of the team that built and launched the first amateur rocket into space, and that was in May of 2004, and that was a multi-year endeavor. Amongst many, many people, myself and Jerry and dozens of others, Kai Michelson, who is a well-known rocket man himself, and many other people, and again got together over the course of a number of years to build and launch a private all-amateur rocket into space, which we succeeded again in 2004. So that really was the culmination of the amateur project that we had for a number of years, and then Jerry and I then, after the culmination of that, decided to then form a company and started Up Aerospace at that time.
Okay, now you're a business. You say you're a business manager. What kinds of companies were you involved with before Up Aerospace?
Oh, a number of businesses, much in the internet world. Had ran a very large internet web development company. I'm also an inventor. I have many inventions. I have a number of businesses, mostly in the sports and personal recreation fields. I have products for scuba divers and runners. So I'm an entrepreneur with lots of interests, and have formed companies based around those interests over many, many years.
Okay, but now you come to this interest, this particular interest, and it sounds, you know, NASA and its precursors in the military have been at this game for over a half century now. You come and you say, we can do it for less, invest in our company. How did that sales pitch go?
That was a tough one initially, because we have a lot of people looked at us and say, well, how can just a handful of people do something that normally takes hundreds of thousands and billions of dollars to do, to form an organization to do the same thing? So it really was a lot of skepticism to start with. We had, on the plus side, because of our success on the amateur side of launching something into space, that vehicle itself and the proof that we were able to do something, even as we bootstrapped it personally, we were able to accomplish that. That helped grease the skids a little bit in the terms of the investor world that could recognize that some of the key principles from the previous endeavor could accomplish what we were proposing on the commercial side.
Okay, but now this is a very, very short timeline. You're talking 3 years since that rocket went up.
That's right.
That seems almost miraculous. Did you have, was there any carryover from your amateur rocketeering activities into the Space Loft XL concept, or was it a clean sheet?
mostly a clean sheet, other than the rocket looking like a rocket. It was really starting from scratch. We wanted to do everything with essentially from a mil-spec mentality, with aerospace engineering and aerospace manufacturing and production. And so there was really the design of the vehicle as you said, a clean slate. That was our approach. We wanted to do things in a very commercial, scientific, engineering level to make sure that we were building a very solid foundation for the company.
Now, you guys are not the only people working on this idea. Some of your competitors, at least one of your competitors, is extremely well-funded, and we'll leave that person nameless. But what did you guys think you could bring, and how were you going to differentiate your endeavor to make it a unique proposition?
Well, a lot of it is because we had little funding to start with, we had to look at everything very particularly to make sure that we were very efficient in all of our design work, so that the end result is a vehicle that is very efficient to not only engineer, build, manufacture, and fly, that provides great margins for us, even in the low price points for our customers. Sometimes when you start with very little and have to be very entrepreneurial in a commercial endeavor, you end up with an end result of a product that's very, very efficient, and that's what we've done. So I think one of the advantages that we have is really that grassroots, very streamlined approach to design and manufacturing that gives us a significant advantage as we move forward.
Let me ask you this, because this is an effect that happens in some lines of business. Have you made the product so inexpensive that it's almost hard for people to take it seriously? Have you run into that at all?
Not really. Our price points are significantly less than other entities that have come before us. But because, particularly now after the launch that we just had and we were successfully flown, that essentially provides all the credibility we need to move forward.
Tell me about the contribution that Spaceport America in New Mexico will make to endeavors like yours. Is this a huge step forward in bringing costs down?
I can't tell you how much support and just encouragement Spaceport America has brought to our company and for companies that will come. There, the state of New Mexico in itself has just been a tremendous partner in everything we've done, and I just can't say enough for the way they've their spirit and enthusiasm, and even with the general public, it's just a grassroots enthusiasm for what's happening, and that is going to be not only helpful to us, but for the other companies that will come to Spaceport America and use that as its home as well as we are, and really New Mexico has really a great philosophy and support right throughout the state.
We're talking with Eric Knight, who's the co-founder of Up Aerospace. A company successfully launched its Spaceloft XL rocket, a mission called SL2, flew a few days ago, and we're going to talk more about that specific mission in a moment. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, and my guest is Eric Knight, who is a co-founder of Up Aerospace Incorporated. The company on the 28th, which was Saturday, completed a successful launch of a mission it called SL2. The vehicle itself is called the Spaceloft XL rocket. Eric, again, welcome back, and thanks for spending a few minutes with our listeners today.
Well, thank you, Paul.
I think it's kind of obvious, but tell us in your terms, what this mission success means to you guys.
Well, it really, probably the most important part is credibility, that we actually can build, design, and fly a rocket into space. Up until this point, we had a very good-looking vehicle that was designed to do what it did, but it really the proof is in the execution, and then we flew it into space, and now so we've completed the entire cycle from design, engineering, production, flight, and now people can look at us and say, yeah, these folks can do what they're saying they do, and that's probably the single most important element of that flight.
All right, tell us how you pulled together this particular list of projects aboard this rocket, because I got to tell you, it looks very intriguing. Let me use one of the words on the positive side of the page. You pulled together 50 student experiments or more, a couple of things that were done from the University of Colorado under a NASA grant, and the cremated remains of over 200 people. How did you go about rounding up this list of payloads for the first mission like this?
Well, we've actually have some great partnerships. I'll take the student initiatives first and experiments. We work with an organization called the Connecticut Center for Advanced Technology in Connecticut, and they work in conjunction with the National Aerospace Leadership Initiative, an Air Force program that helps fund student educational processes. And they had opportunities with many school systems through their educational curriculum throughout the U.S. and now into Europe, and soon beyond that, and that we're able to pull together the different schools and students who wanted to provide experiments for our flight. So they were really a very close partner with us to be able to aggregate all these students. And again, this is K through 12 and the collegiate level, to be able to bring together these all these experiments and integrate them with our vehicle. So that's on the educational side. On the commercial side, we're very privileged and honored to be partnered with Celestis, a space services company, and they approached us about a year ago regarding the opportunity to launch cremated remains. And we've been talking with them over many months, and we formed a relationship with them. And again, we're really proud to be their launch service provider. So they approached us, and we've worked out an arrangement to be able to be their launch service provider for these sorts of cremated remain flights for them. So we've had a number of companies approach us. Again, you mentioned also the University of Colorado and Colorado Space Grant. We met them through one of the NASA Space Grant meetings. So there's a lot of networking and a lot of calls that come into us and emails, and that's how the launch manifest grew to what it became.
Okay, it was. I have to tell you, it was a real imagination capturer, if you will, to have James Doohan's widow and Gordon Cooper's widow push the button for that launch. That was an intriguing thing. It got you exposure on a lot of websites from people who just are followers of space and science fiction as we cross this threshold now to where a lot of those concepts are becoming reality.
Well, it was exciting for us as well. Again, as a small company, we can arrange these very special opportunities with Wendy Doohan and Susan Cooper, and to be able to pull that together, that it just was icing on the cake for the overall event. And again, being a small entrepreneurial company, we can manage events like this because it's really a launch and an event, and it all combined into one. And so we have that flexibility as entrepreneurs and a small company to really make the overall experience very, very exciting.
Now, I don't want to dwell on what some people could consider a morbid topic, but the idea of launching cremated remains of individuals is intriguing because it highlights one of your unique capabilities, and that is the fact that you bring the vehicle back down into a specific geographical area and recover it. Because, you know, obviously these remains were then recovered from the vehicle, the launch vehicle, and mounted on plaques, you know, which will then go on for commemorative use. What's involved in getting a spacecraft to come down in a guaranteed place and be able to recover it like that?
Well, that's an important, as you said, important facet of our vehicle. We can launch it and then bring it back down to a specific location 30 to 33 miles away from its launch point, depending on its trajectory that we launch it at. And that allows for the student experiments to fly and for the students to get them back very quickly, and also for these memorial services like the Celestis Memorial Spaceflight Mission, where the cremated remains are then provided back to the family members, because really the cremated remains was actually a two-day mission in a way. The day before Celestis Space Services, they had a memorial service with all the family members of the individuals, the cremated remains, and that was a really grand memorial. And then the day after, all the families were there at the launch, and then so there's really a whole cycle of an experience for that group, and to be able to bring the rocket back down so that we can then provide back the experiments and the cremated remains and other commercial type payloads back. That's an important characteristic of our business model, and it's working out very well.
All right, tell us a little bit about the Spaceloft XL vehicle itself. You can launch, I guess, a 110-pound payload to up to 140 miles altitude. What does that open you up to? What kinds of companies will take advantage of this service?
Well, just about any sorts. We're basically a flying truck or a space flying truck where the rocket goes up and it comes back down, and we have different compartments and containers that are inside. And we're more like a UPS or FedEx than anything else, but instead of going across the country, we go up and down, and we're kind of an equal opportunity provider of service. So we have marketing companies that want to do literally product launches. We have the services that we've been talking about just over the last few minutes with education and business, and really as far as the imagination can take the opportunities that we can do, that's where we're heading. So really, it's a very multi-purpose vehicle for flying just about any sort of payload you can imagine.
Now, the only kind of payload I'm not clear on would be if someone wanted to launch something into, you know, low Earth orbit or something that would actually be released into space from the rocket rather than brought back in that same container. Is that something you guys are working on too?
We are. Over the next 18 months, 2 years, we're hoping to begin some test flights of an orbital vehicle. It's something we have on a parallel path with that. And we're looking at being able to launch and release small either experiments or communication satellites or picosat and nanosats, that those very small kind of grapefruit size satellites. And we feel that's it's a growing market and really intersects with the timeline that we're on to have a vehicle that will allow to put into a low Earth orbit those types of small payloads. So that's something we're working on, and we see the picosat nanosat market maturing, and we're seeing an intersection of that over the next couple of years as our services in those orbital deployment services come to fruition.
Well, congratulations on a successful mission on Saturday. When will we look forward to SL3 being launched?
Well, we're working on that now, and we'll probably be announcing that over the next few weeks. But it'll be in the near future. And it's a very exciting time for us, for Spaceport New Mexico, for the state of New Mexico, and it's just we're really pleased and proud to be opening up this frontier and really providing these services. It's a direct, and it's just an exciting time for everyone.
Well, Eric, I want to, again, thank you for not only devoting a few minutes to our listeners today, but for choking your way through the New Mexico dust, which has to be clogging your sinuses right now.
And yeah, it is. It's a little dusty, and we're just we're getting through that. So thank you very much for that.
Well, a success like that last mission could overcome a lot of jet lag.
There you go. Absolutely. The adrenaline is still flowing for sure.
My guest has been Eric Knight, who is the co-founder of Up Aerospace Incorporated. The company's website can be found at www.uparospace.com, just like it sounds, UP. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.